Oh, up and let me stand.
Amen.
By faith on Canaan's tableland.
Amen.
A higher plane than I have found.
Amen.
Or plant my feet on higher ground.
Amen. G?
You want to know your God. Sing it that way.
Don't you want to Yeah, go. The Lord.
The Lord chose you to be a part.
Amen. Amen.
His great plan, his work of art.
Amen.
What wonder, what a privilege to satisfy his journey to share all he is, divine, unsearchable riches. What wisdom, multi-experience expressed.
This is a wonderful song, it was for her. And I think it's quite fitting, someone would call this, at this conference. We were talking about last night of having a vision and the need of a vision. And our brother this morning helped us a little bit more with what the vision is. And this is a spiritual vision, something inward seeing of a spiritual vision. And it's something that should change us. And then he, after we went through quite a number of verses there, he mentioned that this vision is just God's economy. So I want you to write that down again. We're going to cover outline number 3 on the word. But we do want to repeat this again and underline this again. Thank you. That this vision, write this down, this vision is God's economy. And we hope that by seeing God's economy, we could be controlled. We could be limited. That everything we speak is related to God's economy. Let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4. First Timothy chapter 1. Maybe let's read 3 and 4. In 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, his young co-workers, because the churches were in a decline. There was problems in the churches, and there were frustrations coming in, and even other teachings coming in. And so Paul had to inoculate the churches through this letter to Timothy, his young co-worker, and to try to help. Timothy was there trying to help the church in Ephesus, and so he wrote to him, and let's read these two verses together, 3 and 4. Even as I exhorted you when I was going into Macedonia to remain in Ephesus in order that you might charge certain ones not to teach different things, nor to give heed to myths and unending genealogies which produce questionings rather than God's economy which is in faith. This is a very important verse related to our vision. He charged Timothy. And to charge others, right? He wrote to Timothy to charge certain ones not to teach other things. There's a lot of things they could be teaching in the church life. A lot of things we could teach in the church life. But those teachings may bring in a different result. They will bring in a different result. The only thing that will accomplish God's purpose is for us to stay on this line and on this vision of God's economy. Everything must be on this line. Because that's what produces the church. That's what he died for. That's what Christ became a man for. That's why he suffered all the things he suffered. Even this hymn expresses that, you know. Why did he, right? Why did he go and sell all that he had? That's referring to a parable in the Gospels where, you know, this merchant finds this great pearl of great price. And he sells everything to get this pearl. That's the church. The Lord sold everything. He gave up everything for the church. That's because the church is God's goal. Write that down. The church is God's goal. And then write this verse down, Matthew 16, verse 18. When the Lord was with the disciples and he asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" They told him a lot of things. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Josh. You know, men had a lot of different ideas about who the Lord was. Then he asked Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." That was a revelation from the Father. Flesh and blood did not give him that revelation. He had a revelation from the Father. "You are the Christ." And the Lord Jesus was so happy about that. And he said, "And on this revelation, on this vision that you've seen, I will build my church." Write that down. I will build my church. That is the greatest prophecy in the entire scripture. Amen. I will build my church. Amen. And everything that he has done, everything that he is, everything that he is doing is to accomplish this desire in the heart of God. Amen. To have a corporate man, to have a counterpart for the Lord Jesus, a bride for Christ, to have an expression on the earth, which is the church. He wants, that's what he needs, that's what he wants. That's been in his heart from eternity past. And brothers and sisters, I don't know how you feel about this, but I try to infuse you with this. This is the greatest thing in the entire universe to live for.
Amen.
It's better than any profession we could have.
Amen.
It's better than any experience we can have. We are here to make God happy.
Amen.
And that will make us very happy, you know. God is happy. We will be happy. We are the sons of God, the children of God. So we are here to accomplish this purpose and this vision. And this hymn is a sweet expression of that. How do we know this? How do we know what is on God's heart? Who can tell us? How do we know? How do we know what God wants? It sounds like it's a pretty rhetorical question, hard to answer that kind of thing. How do we know? Yeah, go ahead, Justice. How do we know? Huh?
You have a feeling.
You have a feeling. Oh. Okay. How can you prove that's what, I mean, we hear this, right? Brother Dennis tells you, this is God's purpose, this is what is on his heart. But how do you know that? You just believe it because I said it? You better not trust me, I'm not that trustworthy. How do you know? That's right. Say it a little louder than that, brother.
The Bible tells us.
That's right. We know because the Bible tells us, right? Okay, write this down. Everything we believe is from the Bible, from God's Word. We know this is His desire because He told us it's His desire in His Word. And capitalize that. W. It's God's Word, capital Word. Everything is based on the Bible. Our faith is based on the Bible. The vision we have is based on the Bible. It is in the Bible. And whatever we need to know, God has written to us in this book. He doesn't answer every question in the universe because we don't need to know the answer to every question we can imagine. But everything we need to know is written down here. It's written down. It is in God's Word.
Amen.
And that's why we have this title of this conference. We'll hear more about this throughout the rest of the conference. The title of this conference is God's Word and God's Move. How do we know what God's move is? We have to come to His Word. Everything originates from His Word. It emanates from his word. We see the vision because we read the word, as our brother shared with us this morning. Paul got a revelation, and it's by this revelation that he wrote it down. And he said, and you, by reading it, can perceive this revelation. We can see the vision by reading the word. And this is the burden of this third outline. It is about the word of God and the necessity of our eating the word, digesting the word, by reading the word, pray reading the word. And there are so many ways we can take the word in. But the key is, it's based on the word. So I didn't record that much. I should have recorded that much, but anyway. So I'll repeat a little bit. We have a vision, right? And that vision is God's economy. And how do we know what is on God's heart? How do we know what God wants? Everything is based on the Word of God.
Amen.
It's in the Word. And we receive it by reading the Word, by enjoying the Word, and by coming to the Word. Now, here is a I don't know how to describe this exactly. Anyway, everything that Satan is trying to do is to frustrate God's purpose. And one of the basic things he tries to do is to make you believe this isn't really God's word. To put a doubt in your mind that this isn't God's word. So our whole educational system, everything we're brought up in and taught in school and to learn, the underlying thought there is really attacking the Word of God. It's really undermining and trying to cause you to doubt that this is God's Word. Satan can't, how do I say this? You are a child of God. You believed in the Lord Jesus. And you belong to Him. And you have His life. Satan cannot change that. There's nothing he can do to change that. But for you to fulfill God's purpose, for you to be useful for the building up of the church, for you to live a life according to this vision of God, you have to do that daily. That's a choice you have to make. And if he can, by some fiery darts, by some philosophical thought, by some movement, political or psychological or social movement, can get you to doubt that this is the Word of God, then he succeeds in frustrating God from accomplishing his purpose. Not totally, but he'll slow it down. And it won't be with you. It'll have to be with the next generation because Satan will slow it down. So don't be cheated by these kind of thoughts and attacks that you get, especially at the university level, but I think now at the high school level, things are already going on there. So anyway, he is attacking the Word of God and trying to cause you to doubt, right? So, because the Word is so important, Satan tries to attack it. And its relevancy, its inerrancy, all of these matters. This is really the inerrant Word of God. There's no errors here. This is God's Word, okay? So, that's why. And that's how we have the vision we have. So we need to read God's Word. And in this message, in this outline, we come to a very practical aspect of getting into the Word, and that is eating the Word of God. Write that down. That's in your title, or underline it. Eating and digesting the Word of God. Now, let us all turn to Matthew 4:4. In Matthew chapter 4, after the Lord fasted for 40 days, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And let's read 3 and 4. This is the first temptation that Satan used to try to tempt the Lord. 3 and 4. And the tempter came and said to him,
If you are
the Son of God, speak that these stones may become loaves of bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word out through the mouth of God. This is a very precious principle. So write that down, Matthew 4:4, that the Lord Jesus told us, man shall not live on bread alone. He was hungry physically. He had not eaten for 40 days. And he was a real man. So Satan tempted him. If you're the Son of God, make these stones into bread. He could have made them into bread. Okay? But he answered the devil, no. The Son of Man shall not live by bread alone. He answered him as a man. That's one thing. And he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Which means that God's word is our food. It nourishes us. You can write that down. God has given us his word, not just for vision, not just for understanding. It is for vision and it is for understanding, but not only that, it is food for us. It is life supply to us. Amen. This is very important. Part of this, or I don't know, one aspect of our vision is that we are here as members of the body to be built up together as the church, right? The body of Christ. And as the church, the body of Christ, when the body of Christ is mature, then the kingdom of God on the earth will come. The millennial kingdom will come. And that is to bring the Lord back. That's why we're here. We want to bring the Lord back. But part of bringing the Lord back is going to be a fight, a battle. After the wedding feast, right, then Christ with his bride, all the overcomers, will come to fight against Satan, fight the battle. And in any battle, any army, I don't know if you ever thought about this, what do you need to fight a battle? What? Soldiers, weapons, yeah? Food. Usually we don't think about food. Army needs weapons, they need armor, they need tanks and guns and all. Yeah, they do. But if that army is hungry, they're not going to fight that well. They need food. They need supply. They need food. And my father, when he served in the armed forces, he was a supply sergeant. And, you know, growing up, you think, a supply sergeant, what's that? I mean, didn't he fight? Wasn't he, like a jet fighter and whatever, you know, fighting in the thing? He was just a supply sergeant. He made sure the army had food. And I never thought much about it till, you know, you study world history and everything. And there are some great battles. One of them was won in the, I can't recall whether it was Napoleon's army or if it was Hitler's army, but anyway, there was an army trying to fight Russia in the wintertime and going up into the north. And so what the Allied forces did was cut off the food supply. They just came around the back and cut off the food supply. And it was really cold, and it was wintertime. And that army was totally defeated because they had no food. They had no supply. And that's what Satan wants to do, young people, to cut off your food supply. Write this down. That is his strategy. Our food is this book. It is the Word of God. And if you think about your experience, you know, you love the Lord, you're enjoying the Lord, you're enjoying the Word, and then some things come along, you get distracted here, you get distracted there, your schedule changes, things happen, and after a while you realize, hey, wait a minute, I haven't read the Bible in a week. I haven't pray-read it. I haven't had morning watch in a few days. Why? Because that's Satan's attack, to cut off the supply. Cut off the supply. So we need to be careful, you know. With our regular food, how many meals do you eat a day?
Three.
And do you have snack? How many snacks do you have? Yeah. So you have three larger meals and a few smaller meals and maybe something before you go to bed. So, you know, you might have six. I don't know. Anyway, we eat, write this down, we eat materially, we eat at least three meals a day, set time, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And we may have snacks as well. But do you have a set schedule for your reading the Word, for your eating the Word? We should also have a set schedule for eating the Word of God. We should have a spiritual breakfast every morning. We should have some time, maybe when you get home from school, just to read half a chapter or a chapter, just to spend some time in the Word. And then it's not bad before you go to bed. It would be very good to read. You know, when I first came into the church, I had my morning revival time and try to get some time during the day, eat a couple of verses. But I really couldn't wait to read before bed. I like to read before bed. And I was trying to read through the Bible, you know, in a year. If you read four chapters a day, you read through in a year. So I would read my New Testament chapter, usually in the afternoon or sometime during the day. And then at night I would read my three chapters in the Old Testament. And let me tell you, three chapters of the Old Testament is the best sleeping medicine you can imagine. Many nights I went to sleep. I woke up in the morning, my Bible's there. I fell asleep reading my chapters. That's okay. It's good. It's good, you know, better than other things we may do before we go to sleep. But my point is, set times. Set times, okay? I think it's in the outline. Mm-hmm. Set times to read the Word. Okay, let's come to the outline. Romans 1 is talking about Ezekiel 2:8 through 3:4. The prophet Ezekiel ate the scroll and spoke with God's word. Let's read A together. A scroll signifying God's word was spread before Ezekiel, and he was told to open your mouth and eat what I give you. Eat what you find. Eat this scroll. Feed your stomach and fill your inward parts with this scroll that I am giving you. And I ate it, and it was like honey in my mouth in its sweetness. And then B, after Ezekiel ate the scroll, Jehovah charged him to go to the house of Israel and speak with his words to them. There's a principle here. Whatever we eat, we need to speak it to others. And you know, eating is a receiving. Of course, we eat food with our, you know, I mean, that's talking about this illustration of eating physical food three times a day. But there's a principle here. You're receiving a physical life supply. But when you read something, and when you study something, or when you watch something, you're also receiving something. We are vessels, and we're receiving things all the time. Physically, we are eating food. But psychologically, we're receiving, you know, we're studying math or history or many subjects, science, and we're receiving. And if you study literature, you're receiving the, you know, what's being written, like our brother shared about this poem. You're receiving things. And it's very interesting that if you are, you know, in our experience, whatever you watch, you know, you watching things on your phone now or on whatever size screen you're using to watch things, if you enjoy that, generally, you tell someone about it. You speak about it, right? If you see something and you enjoyed it and it's good, a show or you've seen a YouTube video, you think it's good, you want to tell people about it. You've enjoyed that, so you pass it on. We need to do the same with the Word of God.
Yes.
When you eat the Word of God and you enjoy something, don't just keep it to yourself. Tell your companion about it, right? Text someone what you've enjoyed. I always enjoy getting a verse from a brother or sister. It's very enjoyable. You get something from someone. And this was the principle here in Ezekiel. And he was faithful. Whatever he ate, when he ate the word, that scroll, and it was what? honey in my mouth in its sweetness. It was sweet. He ate that. Then he was faithful to go to the children of Israel and to speak it. Okay, let's read Romans 2. According to the revelation in the Bible, God's words are good for us to eat. And then it has this verse, Psalm 119, 103. I'll read that to you. I want you to underline that. It's a very good verse. How sweet are thy words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. You know, Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible. And it's written by the psalmist who loved God's word. And there's so many references to God's word, to his statutes, to the law, so many different ways that they spoke about God's word. But all of it was out of a love for God's word. And I hope we could develop such a love for God's word. You know, to enjoy God's word takes practice. It takes, you need to eat it over and over again until it's honey to your mouth and sweet to your taste. Because there's some verses in the Bible that are hard. There's some, you know, the Bible is considered milk in some verses, right? That's easy to digest. But it's also considered solid food, harder to digest. So some verses, some portions are more difficult than others. But we need to develop a taste for God's word. And how do you develop a taste for it? You need to eat it. You need to eat it. How many of you like kimchi? Okay. Now, how many of you who now like kimchi, the first time you tasted kimchi, you didn't really like it that much? It's kind of hot. And it's very, you know, it's a hot, spicy thing. You know, when someone first introduced it to me, I went, ooh, that's a little, I'm not real, you know. But then after a while, I've been to Saint's house, and they're serving things, and there's kimchi there, and I put a little on it. After a while, I learned to like it, and I like it. I like kimchi. You develop a taste for something, you know. And it's the same with God's word. We must develop a taste for God's word, which means we need to learn how to eat it. Write this down. For the word to be honey to you, to be sweet to your taste, you have to learn how to eat it. There's a difference between simply reading and eating. You can read the Bible and not eat it. Now, but you can read the Bible and eat the Bible, because the Bible is spirit. The Bible is life. The Word is spirit. The Word is life. The Word is Christ. Okay, let's write these down. The Word is spirit. And the Word is life. And actually, the Word is Jesus himself. One of his names is the Word of God. The Word became flesh, right? So the Word is Jesus himself. So all of these three, Christ or Jesus, the Word, life, and Spirit, it all can refer to the same thing, okay? That's why you can eat it, because it's life. It's a living person. It's spirit. You can eat that. Now, you can read your history book, but you can't eat it. There's no life there. There's no spirit there. There are words there on black and white, but it's not living. It's not spirit and life. So we need to learn to eat the Word, because if you just read it like your math text or your English lit book, you know, you're not going to get the nourishment. You're just going to get some knowledge, some understanding. But, you know, and we need to understand the Word. But we also need to learn how to eat the Word, okay? So let's read A together. God's Word is the divine supply as food to nourish us. Through the Word, as our food, God dispenses his riches into our inner being to nourish us, that we may be constituted with his element. Now, this is an important sentence. Actually, after this point, I want you to write down this little point, this word here. This is a crucial aspect of God's economy. Write it after John 6:63 in that little space. This is a crucial aspect of God's economy. Because God's economy, of course, as we mentioned, is to gain the church. But the way he gains the church is by his dispensing himself. Underline that. Dispenses his riches. Our brother had us read Ephesians 3:9. But if you write this down, Ephesians 3:8, before that, it talks about the unsearchable riches of Christ as the gospel. God wants to dispense the unsearchable riches of Christ into us that we may be the church that manifests the multifarious wisdom of God. That's all in Ephesians chapter 3. So he dispenses his riches into our inner being to nourish us, and then underline this, that we may be constituted with his element. We want to be constituted with the divine element of life and truth to be his expression. Brothers, can you get John 6:63? And sisters, can you get 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3? And we'll end with these verses and a little fellowship on these verses. And then we want to leave the rest of the time before lunch for you to share something from either last night or this morning. Okay, brothers, John 6:63. And sisters, 1 Peter chapter 2. And we want to add the sixth grade brothers to 1 Peter chapter 2. This is a special word for all the young ones, sixth grade, who just got baptized, okay? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, okay? Very good. One more time. Read it again. Very good. Okay. I want you to write these two words down. The milk of the word. And then, still in verse 2, grow unto salvation. So as newborn babes, we need the milk of the word. And it even tells us we need to long for the milk of the word. If you have tasted, in verse 3, when you taste the milk of the word, that helps you to have a longing for it because it tastes so good. And the Lord is so good, and he tastes so good, because he is the Word, right? So if we taste that, that will change us. That will change us. It will give us a longing for the milk. You know, when I started to develop this habit of reading before I went to bed, if I forgot, I had a hard time going to sleep, then I would remember, oh, wait, I didn't read my Bible. And that helped me because I had developed. You know, when you develop a habit, if you forget that you're reminded, oh, I forgot to do this. I've got to do this, because you do that every day. You habitually take care of that. So we need to have that kind of longing. Amen. Oh, I want to. And even sometimes I think, oh, I can't wait to get home to go to bed so I can read my chapters, especially if I was in, you know, Samuel or some exciting part and David's fighting and Saul's chasing him in the caves, and it's very exciting. The Bible's an exciting book, you know. So, anyway, we need to have this kind of longing. And then the milk nourishes us, right? Right? So, that causes us to grow. That's why I wanted you to write that. Grow into salvation. We need to grow. We need to grow, even though you may just have been baptized. That's okay. You have the capacity. You have Christ in your spirit. And you need the word as the milk to help you to grow, to nourish you, to help you to grow in this divine life. Okay, so A says the Word of God is not mainly, we're on three now. Let's read Romans 3 together. We need to eat the words. And A says the Word of God is not mainly for knowledge, but for nourishment. Underline nourishment. B says, although the Bible is a book of teaching, its teaching is not merely to impart mental knowledge. Underline this. But to minister food to us. The Word is considered as milk and solid food. You also have that other another verse, Hebrews 5:12, which we won't read, but you can read it later. C says, the Lord Jesus took the Word of God in the Scriptures as His bread and lived on it. We read that verse. Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out through the mouth of God. Okay. Okay, D, brothers, the words of the Lord Jesus. One, sisters. Altogether, two. When we receive His words, exercising our spirit, we receive the Spirit who is. So the Word is spirit and life in John 6:63. So when we receive the Word, we must exercise the right organ to eat. So this is the way to eat. Write this down. The way to eat God's Word is by exercising our spirit. When you read, exercise your spirit. Don't read too fast. It's okay to repeat. It's very helpful to pray read. Pray reading really, really is a marvelous practice, and we'll hear more about that tomorrow. But anyway, the point is, exercise your spirit, because the Word is spirit. And when you strike the Word with your spirit, when you strike the Word, which is spirit, with your spirit, you catch the divine fire, like phosphorus and matches. When you strike that match against the flint, you get the flame, right? It's the same spiritually. When you strike the Word of God with your spirit, amen. Oh, long for the guileless milk of the Word. Amen. Lord, oh, I want the milk of the Word this morning. Amen. You strike it with your spirit. Then you catch the divine fire. Okay. E mentions this about prayer reading at the end. But I just want to end with John 6:57. Can we open to that verse, John 6:57? This is Romans 4. Amen. Let's read it together. As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. So here, eating the Lord Jesus is also eating the Word of God. And as the Lord lived by the life of the Father, right? The living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. He lived because of the Father's life. So we who eat Him, whoever eats Him, shall live because of Him. We need to eat the Word of God as our life supply and live by it. And Romans 4 says, as we eat the Lord Jesus, we need to have a proper spiritual digestion so that we eat, digest, and assimilate Christ to become His four living creatures who express and represent Him. Let's all read A together. God's economy is that we eat, digest, and assimilate Christ. Not a matter of outward things, but not a matter of outward things, but of Christ coming into us inwardly. Ephesians 3:17a says that Christ make His home in your heart through faith. When you eat the Word of God and you digest this Word, this is Christ coming into us as the Word, then we're allowing Him to make home in our hearts. We're assimilating Him. allowing him to come in and spread into our mind, emotion, and will, spread into all of our heart, so that he can be expressed through what we think, through what we love, and through what we choose, because he is making his home in our heart. So this is the Word of God as our nourishment, and also becoming our constitution, that we could be useful to him for the fulfillment of his purpose. I'm sorry I took too long, but let's take a few minutes. Maybe, brothers, you can bring the mics out and see if we have some overflow from this morning or last night. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, if you have some response, even if it's just a sentence, come on up and share with us.
This meeting impressed me very much because I feel like, after I finished the Bible school in California, I was having a really rough time in my life. And, you know, your family members, they just tell you the truth. They don't hold back. So I was talking to her on the phone, and she said, "Esther, I can tell by your talking that you're not happy, and I know you're going through a really rough time." And then the thing that, and I knew it was coming. I knew what she was going to say. And she said, "I don't mean to be spiritual, but how is your Bible reading, and how is your morning time with the Lord?" And the truth was, it wasn't good. It was not good, and I didn't want to face, I knew it was going to come out of her mouth, and I was just like, oh, I really don't want to hear this right now. And you would think after Bible school, I'll be open, but no, I wasn't open. But I was just impressed that even though I was in a Bible school for 3 years, I still need to be in the Word of God. Doesn't matter if you were really enjoying in the conference, in your daily life, you need to be in the Word of God.
Amen.
And I can say, like, even though maybe when I read the Word at night, right before I go to bed, I might not get some spiritual inspiration. You know, I might not be like, see light from heaven. But the Lord is faithful to supply us. And the more we're in the Word, the more he has a way to show us the vision.
Right.
If we're not in the Lord speaking day by day, it's very hard for us to see the vision because we're so occupied with so many other things. All we see is schoolwork, right? All we see is our friends from school. So it's very easy to not see the vision when you're in your daily life, when you're not in the Word. So I was just impressed how practical it is. Day by day, we need to be persons who read the Word. I don't even read that much. I just read literally just a page at night. But anyway, praise the Lord.
Amen.
We have the way to see the vision, and it's by reading the Word of God.
Amen.
Okay, 1 Corinthians 12:14 says, "For the body is not one member, but many." And I really enjoyed this verse from Message 2. And it shows that, like, the living creatures, they don't move, like, individually. Whenever one moves one direction, they all follow, and they move as one body. And this is also a picture of coordination in the church and how, like, we're all members in the body, and we all have, like, our individual functions, but we can't function individually. We need to function as one body. And when we function as one corporate entity, then the Lord can have his move.
Amen.
From this message, what I enjoyed is that in order to serve the Lord, we need to see visions of God. We can't simply do that by exercising our spirit and turning to the Lord and just spending time with the Lord. I really enjoyed that the Word is living spirit and Jesus himself. Amen. So God's Word is not just for our knowledge and for our understanding, but also for us to eat and for our nourishment. Amen.
So I enjoyed that there's a difference between eating and reading the Bible. So the brother said that you can read a textbook, but you can't eat it because there's no life. So it made me think of my science textbook. And I really hate reading it because I don't understand a single thing. And I get really frustrated. But when I come to the Bible, I'm calm, I'm peaceful. I receive the Word, and the Word is spirit, the Word is life. And praise the Lord that when you read the Bible, you get a person, and that is Jesus Christ himself.
I enjoyed that in order to see a vision, we need to know the Word. Amen. So we must read the Word every day.
Amen.
I enjoyed that we need to have at least like a schedule for eating the Word, because like last week I stopped like reading the Bible and I'm not like as like happy as like usual, so like I was before.
Amen. I was really encouraged with the Word this morning on the aspect of the four living creatures, the face of the lion. There we see four provisions and three overcoming experiences. Those four provisions is we receive boldness, vigor, strength, and victory. And Proverbs 28:1 tells us that the wicked flee when no one pursues him, but the righteous is bold like a lion. Amen. And the three overcoming experiences is overcoming over sin, the world, and Satan. And Romans 5:17 tells us that those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. All of this we'll receive when we come to the Word and when we spend time in the Word of God, to fill our inward parts with the content of the Word of God, which is life, the life of God. Amen.
I was just really impressed by this fact that, you know, the Word is our food, and Satan is attacking our supply of food, right? So recently in school, I have this friend who has been trying, I don't know, like in her class, she's been reading something and like she knows that I'm Christian. So she asks like, oh, like isn't the Bible sexist because of this and this and this or like something. But like, you know, a lot of times this kind of brings me down because I don't, like a lot of times I'm not sure how to respond to that because, well, personally, I don't spend that much time in the Word. And so it's important that we spend more time in the Word, right? Because the Lord speaks to us in the Word. And the facts of the Bible are true, you know? They're not something that we can take lightly. They're very true. There's no errors in the Bible, right? So we just need to spend more time in the Word and just have faith that God is real and the Word is real. Amen.
So I was really touched at when Burden has asked Justice, like, why is this true? Like, where do we get all this information? We get it from the Word. And, you know, in the world, there's many things that contrast the Word. And, like, sometimes it's hard to tell, like, whatever my friends are saying is according to the Word or not. So I was really touched that we need to go into the Word. You know, the Word tells us everything. Like, these truths we didn't make up. Like, they're from the Word. Like, the Word is God speaking. We need to eat the Word. Amen.
I enjoyed the comparison of the three meals a day with the reading the Bible because it shows just how much we should be reading the Bible each day and how long and how much we should be in our spirit. I also enjoy that there is a practical solution to fulfill this, is to set schedules or set times to read the Bible.
So one thing that really hit me was when Brother Dennis talked about how when soldiers are in war, you probably think like, oh, they need weapons, they need soldiers, obviously. But one thing they really need is food. And I was thinking, you know, sieges, like, if that's how it's pronounced, it's just sieges? Yeah. Where the reason they kind of cut off the food supply, and when they cut off the food supply, they don't have any choice but to just surrender because they can't live without food. And so we should not allow this to happen because Satan's strategy is to cut off our food supply, and we should never allow him to do that. And we should practice this by every day continuously eating the Word, because then Satan will never have the chance to attack us. And we must fight back.
Okay, are we having any last announcements for lunch? Okay,
yeah. Okay, we have some announcements for this afternoon's recreation time. Because the ground are still wet, from the snow, we will have a hiking time, but you can only go on hiking if you have an extra pair of footwear that you can change back when you come back, okay? So either sneakers or boots, you need something that you can change back because we don't want you to wear the muddy footwear back to the meeting. So if you have an extra pair of either sneaker or footwear, we will have a hiking trip. We can gather here at 1:30 after lunch. We'll be gathered together and we'll go on together. I don't know where the trail is, but if you're interested in a hiking trip, we'll gather in front of the lobby at 1:30. Also, from 1:30 to 3 o'clock, there will be a time of craft in the cafeteria. Craft time. Okay? Crafts. If you're interested in that, you can gather in the cafeteria. Now, of course, the board games are available. The board games are available for you to play in groups in the lobby area. In the cafeteria, do you want to open up this room? Yeah. And also in this room, maybe especially on the platform, if you're interested playing some board game, you can play on that platform. The rooms, however, are reserved for those who want to rest. Okay? So downstairs, there are some rooms for the sisters. So if some sister want to rest, maybe you can find a room to rest in. Even though if you're staying in that big meeting area, if you want to have some rest, find out some of the beds that are available or vacant for you to take a nap in the afternoon. So that means that if you're not resting, do not go to the rooms. Okay? Whoever are staying in the area of the rooms, that's for rest. And we should allow those who want to rest to have a time of rest. So if you want to be active, doing activities, stay away from the rooms. Similarly, with the building B, second floor, the rooms. All the rooms on the second level of building B are reserved for rest. So if you're not resting, don't be there. Okay? Now, for the brothers who are responsible for collecting the district payments for the training, for the brothers in Brooklyn, please come and see Sister Grace Lynn. Can you stand up? In the main meeting room at 1 p.m. Settle your account. For the brothers from Manhattan, please see her at 1:30. And the brothers from Queens, see her at 2 o'clock. Okay? Lunch cleanup will be by 6th and 7th and 8th grade brothers. Can you all stand up with your serving ones? Okay. Yeah? Listen, we have a question? Yes, if you want to take shower in the afternoon, the cleanup time according to the schedule is 3:30 to 4, but you can take a shower before that. Okay? So,
well, where do they record? You forget the shower answer.
Okay. Yeah. Your report to Sister Davina after lunch, so you can be dismissed to lunch now. Okay? But after lunch, please report to Sister Davina for lunch cleanup.
1 o'clock.
Report for lunch cleanup. I don't have any. No. I think we just stay in line. No. No instructions.
I just want to know if it's
fine.
Is there quiet, please? Everybody quiet, please. Are we going through a line now?
So today, family style, Mr. Christine will seat you at a table if you sit there. And once our table is full, then the meal will come to you. And so on. Okay. And please use a big trash can for garbage. There are some smaller ones you'll see, like for the coffee area. But the really big ones is where our trash goes.
Okay, so when you wait online, you're not getting your food. You're just waiting to be seated on the tables
right.
together.
Right.
The food will come to your table, okay? So you're not waiting online for food. You're waiting to be seated in groups on the table, and then the food will come to you. Okay, how about all the sisters go right now? Brothers, please sit down.